You do realize that protecting our resources, paying attention to water quality and air quality and the animals in the world, right? Like, it matters now. There's a lot of people concerned about animals, about animals that are endangered, right? And so you do understand endangered looks like this. An endangered species is a species that is very likely to become extinct in the near future. And God created our world where we're interdependent upon each other. Like, if we kill all the whales, if we kill all the birds, if we let something happen that destroys nature, it's going to affect all of us. And so it's a big deal. And I believe it's a part of God's purpose for our lives. And I just want to talk about elephants for a second. Some of you guys really like them, and I do too. I think they're really cool. Africa's elephants play key roles in ecosystems and economies and in our collective imagination all over the world. Today's new red list of endangered species assessments of both species of African elephants underline the persistent pressures faced by these iconic animals. It's a big deal. Elephants are endangered, both species on the African continent. And so, you do realize that God has given us responsibility to manage, to take care of, to provide for the world. And so it's really a God thing. I don't know if we really realize it, but it really is a God thing. Remember in the beginning, God blessed them, Adam and Eve. He created them after he created the whole earth. And God said, "You be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God gave us a responsibility. And this morning, I know it's men and women both. God gave us both a responsibility. And you do understand that it takes both. To have a balance of nature, to have the world the way God intends it to be, you need women and men. And we're different. I don't know if you've noticed that. We are. God created us with special, unique giftings. He put things in our DNA. Like, it's literally in our DNA. Like, sometimes some of us get really hard on tree huggers. We get hard on people who are making demands that we do this or do that, that we're destroying the environment. And the truth is, it's in our DNA to take care of elephants. Like, I've never seen one in the wild, but I want them to exist. They're a part of our ecosystem and the whole world. And the world would be a less place without those big monstrous things, right? I mean, I don't want anyone in my backyard. I don't want to deal with them in my garden. Could you imagine? I get irritated when rabbits get in my garden. What an elephant would do to your yard? You know, that's like crazy. But I still feel responsible for them. But you know why? Because God put that inside of Adam and Eve in the very beginning. Guys, here's the world. Now you take care of it. You're responsible. You rule over the world. You bring order into this world and prosperity and blessing. So it's inside of us. It's what God gave us to do. Now, I just want you to say it's okay. Now, the truth is, it's really one of the major things inside of a man. And guys, I want to release you today. And as something I want you to get in your head before this morning's over, I want you to get this in your head. They need me. Every man in this room, they need me. Every one of you, I want you to say that inside of your own heart. They need me. My family needs me. My community needs me. My city needs me. My state needs me. Humanity needs me. You see, it's almost like hard for a man to say. It's like it's become not, you're not supposed to be a man anymore. It's like there, and we're going to talk some more about that. But God gave us something. Us, men and women, something that's going to bring his kingdom to this earth. And you need both. Man, you're just as needed as the women. I mean, I understand women, every person in here exists because a woman birthed you. And a woman carried you. And a woman cared for you. And absolutely true. But do you know that we also need men too? We need fathers. We need dads. And it's hard for a dad to stand at and say, I was going to get you guys to say that with me out loud, but I'm just scared there'll only be like two people say it. And I know men's personalities. We don't like people to look at us. We don't, I mean, you know, if none of you men are hooping and hollering during worship, wonder why. It's because there's this pressure on you to not do that. You're not supposed to admit that it's important to you that they need you. The kids in this city need you. The kids in the homeless children need you. The kids in school need you. Your children need you. They don't need another mother. They need a dad. And so we're going to hit that today. And I'm not belittling women. If you want to know what I feel about women, go back to Mother's Day and listen to what I taught then. I believe in women. And I can make all kinds of jokes, which I'm not, but I do, right? So Africa has elephants, right? The African elephant. That's what we're looking at. Well, do you know that this guy named Wade Horn, he wrote a book about called Elephants and Men. And there was a big national game preserve in South Africa that had all the animals that were natural to that place, but they didn't have any elephants. You know why? Because elephants were being decimated. They still are. Their poachers are killing them left and right for their tusk, for money. The people kill them because they're hungry. Farmers kill them because they mess up their gardens. Elephants were just totally eradicated from this huge hundreds of square miles area. There weren't any elephants in this preserve. And so they decided to restock them and to bring elephants back because the ecosystem needs elephants to be healthy. And so they imported elephants. They brought the African elephant back into that place. And within a few years, guess what happened? They overpopulated. So now they've got another problem. It's like no one's killing the elephants. Nothing's, it's just like they're taking care of them so well, there's too many for the land to support. So they came up with a great idea because they're ecologists, they care about, they're conservationists. So they had this great idea. Hey, there's another game preserve in another part of South Africa. They need some elephants. We have too many. Let's give them some of ours. Well, that's great, except for you can't send elephants in UPS or FedEx. They're really big. And so they had another great idea. We'll get one of those huge helicopters like they used to move, you know, big tanks with and stuff. And we'll take a harness and we'll put the elephant in the harness and we'll take them some of our elephants. Great idea. They got the baby elephants. They got whole families, right? And then they got mom elephants, and then they went to get the bull elephants, the mature males, and guess what? The straps broke before they got up in the air. They didn't kill any, but it's like, we got a problem. These bull elephants are too big. We can't carry them. So they said, another great idea. Let's take some juveniles that aren't that big. So great idea. They do. They give them elephants to their neighboring game preserve. And you, some of you have heard the story. It's really true. Well, everything's going great. They got these young bull elephants that are going to grow up and mate with the females, and they're going to have their own herd. Well, then they had another problem. Listen, it's hard taking care of a family, right? They have another problem. Guess what? Somebody is killing the rhinoceroses. The rhinos are dying. So they are smart. They put out cameras and they try to figure out what's killing the rhinos. They do blood tests. It's not a virus. It's not a disease. And then, you know what they found out? Because rhinos, those horns on rhinos are very valuable. They found out that there were spear holes in the side of the rhinos. They're like, aha, poachers, which is the number one killer. But they weren't taking the horns. Like, it's not poachers. And then they put out these cameras everywhere so they could find out what is killing all the rhinos. And guess who was doing it? Those bully juvenile elephants that don't have a lick of sense. Who had horns? Yeah, they had horns, but they didn't have any sense yet. And they are like, oh no, we have a bunch of juvenile delinquent elephants running everywhere. And they're not just killing the rhinos. They started tearing everything up. They don't have a lick of sense. They're like a teenage boy, you know? It's like, take the car keys away from him, quick. too much power is not good for teenage boys. Well, then y'all know the end of the story. It's really cool what happened. Someone had an idea. We need to bring in some old men. We need to bring in some of those big, mature bull elephants that were too big to carry. We need to build new harnesses, and let's take a couple of those big boys over there and put them in that game preserve. So they did. They flew them over. And I kid you not, the man who wrote this book, he studied it, right? They brought over a few mature males, and within 6 weeks, the killing stopped. Well, get out of here. What right did those old mature bulls to go in there and start bossing around those teenage bulls? See, that's how we think. Well, they were free. They just let them go free, do whatever they want to do. Listen, teenage boys will destroy everything if you don't give them rules. They did the bulls because they're young. I remember when I was young, Harvey, come here and help me do this. Harvey's our senior pastor in the sense of I'm the boss senior pastor. He's the mature senior pastor. And, you know, when Harvey and I were young, say hi, Harvey. Hi to the people.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, there's a good dad. He's fixing to go change a poopy diaper. That is a good dad. You might want to take Oliver with you. These young fathers, they just don't all, they don't get it, you know. It's like, take the baby. Okay, so Harvey and I, any of you guys ever heard Harvey tell stories about when he was young? Like when at UCA they put a full-grown cow in a professor's little office upstairs in a building on the UCA campus?
Wait, you didn't call me up there to talk
no,
about
I didn't,
that.
No, I didn't do that. Now, so when I was a teenager, you know what we did? One of the things, I had a group of guys I hung out with. We called ourselves the Family Five. You know how you do when you're teenagers. I'm 16 or 17. And we did stuff that I've never told my children about. And these guys were just my friends, right? Two of them are now with Jesus, which is interesting. But three of us are still alive. And we were good friends. And one of the things, we had a great idea one day. We were going to paint our name, Family Five. We made this little symbol for it. On the water tower here at Cabot. And there was a water tower right across the railroad tracks, right across from the police station, which wasn't there then. It was one of those old rickety water towers. And so we climbed that thing, and we painted that our symbol up there on the water tower. And Harvey, I was just thinking that they've got a new water tower over there by the ballpark.
Yeah.
It's like 100 feet tall.
Oh, man.
Let's do it.
Are you saying that we go over and climb that city water tower?
Yeah.
Now, who owns that water tower?
Well, the city. I'm in the city. I pay taxes.
So, do you believe in disobeying law?
No, I didn't say that. I just wanted to paint my name on the water tower.
We need to think about that.
Well, I did think about it. I had the idea.
Yeah, but you need to think of it more serious. What? You don't want to get hurt, do you?
Well, no.
You know, if you climb up that thing and slip and fall down 50 feet, what's going to happen?
Oh, dude, I'd die.
And then you'd be in the hospital for weeks. Now, you need to think about those things.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Well, that's a good idea, and you shouldn't do it.
Huh. Okay. Let's don't do it.
Okay. Good.
You see what old men do? They bring reason into your world. We need old men that have done stuff, right? We do. Harvey, thank you. You know what I found out when I was 16 and climbed that water tower? I didn't know I was afraid of heights until I got up there. And then I had to get back down. And only one thing's worse than dying when you're a teenage boy, and that's being embarrassed. I was not going to call the fire department and have them come save me and have my picture in a paper that I'm scared of heights. But I am. You know, it's like, it's really true. It's true in the natural world. It's true in the physical world. And we need fathers. We need fathers who have experience, who will share their knowledge. Harvey, thank goodness, talked me out of going and climbing that tower. And he was going to do it with me. So he's done it. He's done other things that are just as bad. So Jesus gave us this responsibility in the world. But do you know something needs to put on the endangered species list? It's the American male. Now, I'm just telling you, it is not popular to be masculine in our world. We've been painted pictures, and it's interesting what happened to the African and to the elephants. It's also fathers. It is not socially acceptable to be a father in our world today. It's not socially acceptable even to be masculine, to have a different type of way to address things. You know, I've had when a kid comes up to me, Stephen told me, he said, most loving word I ever heard from my dad was no. He told me that this morning. He said, now, at the time, I didn't think it was loving. He didn't even give me an explanation. He just said, no. Well, isn't it good to get a heart level with your kids and to have all this stuff going on? Yeah, that's all good. That's why God's intention is a man and a woman. And a woman's major gifting, and most women, of course, I understand it's not black and white, but most women are a little more sensitive and nurturing in that way than men are. And children, people need that. We all need it. And men tend to be more black and white and structured and ordered, and they don't have as good a language. I mean, shoot, I've heard some of the language Tommy used with Dawson. You don't want to know. Like, it's not in the dictionary. I guess maybe we're more creative speakers. Yeah, but we're not. So I can't explain why. No. All I can do is say no. Well, children need to have that heart. Yes, I think they do. That's why God gave us more than one. And I believe the world needs our voice, guys. The world needs fathers. And literally, we become an endangered species. One thing that happens is poaching, right? You know what poaching does? It goes out and shoots and kills animals. In our world today, we've cried to kill manhood. It comes at us from everywhere. And it's logical, it makes sense, but it's not from God. Because God created balance in the world, an ecosystem. We need dads. So you can kill stuff as a poacher. You can directly go against everything masculine. And you know what? You can talk us into it because you can talk better than we can. But I want to tell you, it's not good for the world. It's not good for families. It's not good for our economy. It's not good for anything in our world. Now, you know another way to kill men is you habitat, right? If an elephant, if they don't have habitat that's conducive to what they need to live, the elephants die. And you know what we've done? A lot of what we've done in our world, in our society, is we've taken away a habitat that a man can flourish in. We've just made it uncomfortable to be definite. We've made it uncomfortable to draw a line. We've made it uncomfortable to lead and be aggressive. And it's like, I'm telling you, everything without harmony with God gets out of balance and it brings destruction, whether it's on this side or that side. And so men, a lot of times today, we are an endangered species, guys. We really are. I'll tell you, I can prove we are. It's funny. let me read you some statistics, because I believe the American male is being exterminated. Here's why. These aren't Christian statistics. They're just statistics of the United States of America. And did you realize this? You probably didn't. Right now in the United States, there are more fathers absent from the home than at any other time in history except for during the Civil War. Now, during the Civil War, I looked up the numbers. In 1820, there were a total of 31 million people in the United States of America, and 687,000 men died in the Civil War. It took two centuries for the numbers to catch back up. Well, there was a reason there weren't dads in lots and lots of the homes, and mothers had to pull double duty for their whole life. They had to make the money. They had to take care of the kids. They had to bring discipline. They had to bring love. They had to do it all. 680,000 men we killed of each other, north and south. Now, in 1950, this is after it caught up, only 4.7 children in the United States were born out of wedlock into a single mom home. 4.7%. Do you know what percentage are born out of wedlock today? 70% of black children today are born out of wedlock into a single parent home. 50% of Hispanic children are born out of wedlock today. 39% of white children are born into a single parent home today. So it's like, okay, how does that affect society? Not Christian. How does this affect society to not have a father in the home, to just have one parent? Here's some more statistics. 90% of all inmates in prison are male. Well, I'm all for women's rights, so let's go find another 40% of women to even that out, right? No. 90% are men. It reminds me of those young bull elephants. It reminds me of me when I was 16. I shouldn't be trusted with a water tower. There's a ladder there, you're supposed to climb it, right? That's what you do. That was stupid. And me and I did, Harvey, I wouldn't do it even if he didn't want to do it. I wouldn't do it now. Okay, here's another one. And this is hard. 80 to 90% of all those inmates grew up in a home without a father. I'm not talking love Jesus, Father. I'm just Father. That's 80 to 90% of all inmates didn't have a dad in their home. And we're telling people it doesn't matter if you don't have a dad in the home. Well, math doesn't lie. Here's one. This is sad. 63% of all youth suicides are from fatherless homes. It matters. It really does matter. Men, would you guys say this with me this time? They need me. Now, you guys say it out loud. Don't make me come out there and slap you. Because I've got big guys on the front row, Harvey and Stephen. Say it with me, guys. I know it's embarrassing. It's hard for us to even admit that we are needed. Say it with me. They need me. They do. You know your family needs you. Do you know your neighbors need you too? Do you know I know we do children's ministry, we do history, and we have a few men help with the kids. Do you know our kids need you? They need you in that class with them too. They need you, your input in their lives too. Well, I don't care about other kids. Oh, really? That's smart. Guess who's going to break into your home in 10 years? Boys who didn't have a father's influence. Just because they don't have a natural father doesn't mean they can't have a father in their lives. But we won't do it because we don't think we're important. We've been taught, most of us were taught, who we are is bad. So this is 85% of children that have emotional disorders come from fatherless homes. Who would have dreamed that unless somebody did that study? 90% of all homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 9 out of 10. Oh, that's just a coincidence. It's just because of how bad the world is. But what about the other? The bad world's not making them homeless if they have a dad at home. You see, dads, we weren't raised to believe that it really matters that we stay. We stay. Yeah, but you're not, and I know everything I'm not. Every one of you men know what you're not. But it matters. It really does matter. 71% of all high school dropouts, you know, come from fatherless homes. It's almost three quarters. Three out of every four high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 80% of all rapes, 80% of all rapes come from fatherless homes. Men, it's time for us to come back. It's time for us to come back home. And not just home. To come back into our society, to come back into action, to be a part of making a difference in the world. And you know what, men? You were created for this. You were created to overcome obstacles, to climb mountains, to fight wars. It's who we are. And the enemy wants to take that out of us. And I don't mean be abusive. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about being a dad. And we want to look at a scripture now. Now, I want you to think of something. In the Old Testament, the whole Old Testament gives us a picture of humanity trying to live a successful life without an internal relationship with God. And that's what the Old Testament is. That's what the law was. That's what the Hebrews says. It's like the law was given so that we would prove to ourselves. Now, of course, you hard-headed men, most of you are like me, I've got to prove to myself this won't work. Just you telling me it won't work isn't going to work. I've got to prove to me it won't work. And then I'll believe it. Well, you know what? The whole world was like that. And God gave the law, and they tried to live by the law for thousands of years, and it brought death and destruction. And it's so interesting, one of the prophecies that predicted the coming of Christ, because something had to change. All those years, they've been living by the law, and things have gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until the coming of Christ. And you know what? One of the prophecies of the coming of Christ is this verse out of Malachi 4, 5, and 6. He said, "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers." When Jesus came was the first time in history where men and women, both, we could have Christ in us. You know, our problem wasn't that we were bad. Our problem was that we didn't have the power to do what we wanted to do. We didn't have the power without God in you. You do not have the power to be who God's created you to be. You don't have the power to stop doing the things you can't do. You don't have the power to do the things you want to do. And we've tried to live without God for all those years and to live by the law, and it was impossible until Jesus Christ came. And when he came, he made it possible for the fathers to be connected to the hearts of the children, the children to be connected to the hearts of the fathers. Everything changed the day Jesus rose from the dead. And now, dads, listen, you cannot do this without union with Christ. You can't. Now, it's better to be home and to have a dad, even if he's not connected with Christ. That's better. The statistics prove it. That's better than no dad. But a dad that's connected to the heart of Christ will change the world. And that's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. In 1 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, right? 1 Corinthians 4, 14. Paul said, "I'm not writing this to embarrass you or to shame you, but to correct you as the children I love." You see, Paul's spiritual children. He said, "I need to give you guys some correction, discipline, order. You don't know how to act. I want to teach you how to act." Now, how could Paul say that? "For although you could have countless babysitters or teachers in Christ telling you what you're doing wrong, you don't have many fathers who correct you in love." Now, the italicized words were added by the translator to help us understand what they're saying. You see, a father doesn't correct out of punishment and law. He's connected at a heart level with his child and with the father. And he says it this way. He says that, I'm a true father to you. Well, who is he to say he's their father? You see, we're even raised in a place where all this stuff is going on. Well, who's the church to tell me how to live? And they're right. If you're not connected to God, you don't have any right to tell me how to live. You know what you have a right to do is what Paul said here. He said, I'm a true father to you, for I became your father when I gave you the gospel and brought you into union with Jesus. And you may ask, why are you keep pushing this thing about personal relationship, about union with Jesus? Because union with Jesus is the way to live. It'll give you the power to actually live a successful, productive life and to reproduce that life in your children and in other people. It's through the union with Christ. You see, somehow, a lot of us got separated from the relationship and just were doing the law. But that's better than no father. But the law that emphasizes union gives you the power to be who you are and who God created you to be. It's not just telling you rules. It's showing you how to live. I encourage you, my children, to follow the example that I lived before you. Well, wait. Paul, aren't you supposed to follow Christ? He said, I am following Christ. That's the example I'm living before you. Follow that. He said, that's why I've sent my dear son Timothy, which wasn't his physical son. It was somebody he raised up in the kingdom. He said, I sent you Timothy, whom I love. You can't do this without love. You're not a biblical father if you don't love. If you don't love your children, if you don't love your family, if you don't love people, and if you don't have a love, intimate, real relationship with God. You can't do it. I conduct myself as one who lives in union with Jesus. You see, Dad, that's who we're called to be. Whether you're in business, whether you're in a family, whether you're in relationships, in the church, you are called to live in union with Jesus. And you know what happens? He's the anointed one. I know you men are just like me. There's things that I've tried to do that I failed at. I couldn't do it. There's things I want to stop doing, I can't stop doing. I need the anointed one. And I don't just need him out there. I need his anointing in me. And that's how you become a dad like Paul was. That's how they change the world. That's why they need me. They need me. Now, in the natural, we need fathers. In every community, every ethnicity, every place in the world, we need fathers. Whether they know Jesus or not, we need dads. But the truth is, a dad that's in union with him changes everything. Changes the world. There are some among you who have exalted, because you know what happens when you live in union with him? Paul tells us, right? When you have exalted them, they have exalted themselves as if I were not coming back to you. Paul's like, oh, there's some people saying I'm not their father. And oh, they're talking big and they're going against the things that I modeled for you. He said, oh. He said, tell those guys, I'll come soon if it pleases the Lord, because Paul did everything in union with the Lord. And the Lord may have not taken him back, but he was planning on it. And I'll find out not only what these arrogant ones are saying, but also if they have power to back up their words. Dad, you were called to be a man of power. Men, you were called to walk in power. That power comes from union with Christ. You see, this is what it is. Well, you men are on a power trip. Yes. Based by love. Concern. We give our lives for others. Dad, you are called to look decades in the future. Generations in the future. You were created to build a kingdom, to bring life. And that's who you are. And God called us to that, and he gave us the power to do it if we're in union with him. If you're in union with Anointed One, you will be anointed. So this morning, I just want you to know on Father's Day, it's okay to be a man and to be masculine. And I'm not stereotyping. Some men, like I personally, I am just hyper sensitive. I cry at the drop of a hat. I embrace and hold people a lot. It's like I'm a giver. I mean, I give gifts to everybody. It's like, no, I'm not any of those things. Sorry. But do you know it's okay to be me? They need me. They need me. And everything in the world's saying they don't need us. Well, that's a good fight. And I love a fight. You talk about a fight, then prove them wrong. Because when you love God, when you're in union with him, and you love people, they know they need you. And everything changes. Now, are there dads who are in bondage to darkness? Absolutely. Are there negligent dads? Absolutely. Are there, yes. Are there dads who are lacking social graces? Absolutely. It's better to have them at home. Even them. And I'm not talking abuse, okay? If a man hits you, in the old days, you would just call a couple of your neighbors and you never had to worry about it again. It's amazing how that happened. Men would go talk to him. No, they didn't. They wouldn't beat the living dog out of him. Because men are smart. You beat me up once and I won't do it again. You know? It's just not going to happen. It's so funny. Talk doesn't always do things. But I'm going to tell you, that's not right. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying men, be men. Lead your families. Lead in your work. Lead in work ethic. Lead in financial giving. Lead in planning for the future. It's just like, be a man like in Hebrews 11 people were. They lived by faith, even when they couldn't see evidence around them. There may be nobody that ever encourages you. You know what? That's okay. You be you. You be a leader, and you be who you are, and give yourself to God, and he will bring life through you. In our society, those numbers will change. They'll change. They won't change until men change. When you change, the world changes. Absolutely true. So this morning, I just want to give you freedom, guys. And you know who the worst people are on men? Really? And I know media, certain parts of our society, certain people have agendas. I know all that's true. But do you know who the worst people are judging men? Yeah. It's go look and you know it's not either. Who said women? I thought it was Randy. I'm like, Randy, you are brave. Kwanda's an RN. She knows ways to kill you. We would never figure out. No. Men, you're the worst people on men because you know where you miss it. You know your shortcomings. You know. Guys, you know. It's time to forgive yourself, not to make excuses and validate our behavior or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. It's time for you to forgive yourself and for you to give who you are to him. You may never speak as gently as some people or eloquently, or you may not have as quick a mind as some people. I'm talking about women, men, right? But we need you. And we beat ourselves up to where we don't do it. So I know society, they're trying to take us out. They really are trying to take masculinity out of American culture. I know they are. But the truth is, that'll destroy American culture. God needs you. More than ever in the history of mankind, God needs us now to stand up as men of God, men that love, and be who we are. Okay? So men, you're free. Go out and be a man today. Go kill something. Chop down a tree. Dad, dig a hole. I mean, just no reason, just dig a hole. Mess up something. Break something. Try something you've never done before. You're free. Do it. And you'll learn, really. I mean, you'll learn. Hopefully you won't die and you won't kill anybody else. You'll learn. That's how men grow. We make mistakes and we grow. You're free to grow today, guys. Go be yourself. And if you say something stupid, you're a significant other or some other lady will correct you. Take it like a man. Enjoy your beating and go on. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand up. God is good, huh? I'm so glad he didn't make us all the same. It'd be such a vanilla, boring, golly. I mean, you know, did you notice the second time Justin took his son out, he actually took his son with him? See how we grow? He grew. What a great dad, huh? I hope he... Does he know how to do baby wipes and stuff? He's a master, right? Guys, sometimes you clean butts. Sometimes you work 60 hours a week. You do whatever it is you need to do. And you know who's going to tell you that? Another man. Because I don't care whether you're hurting or not. Now, you get a woman, she'll be sensitive and she'll want to carry you like she did when you were a baby. Get out of her arms and stand on your own two feet. And who's going to tell you that? A man. But he's mean. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know a man in here that had a perfect dad. And I know some of your dads. I heard about other ones. And I know me. We're not perfect. But don't check out. They need you. Your imperfection actually shapes them, shapes the world. And we were told our imperfection takes us out of the game. No, it doesn't. Don't leave the game. Okay? So, Father, I just thank you for Father's Day and that you have blessed us with men, with masculinity. God, that you're giving us permission to give our inadequate, inable selves to you. And God, I thank you that you literally take our inabilities and give us ability. God, you take our harshness and make it soft. God, you take all that stuff that's messed up inside of us that you can make it, you can just make us just peace. This morning, God, I ask that you would release us to be who you've called us to be. That the men in this place, in our church, in our community, God, in the city of Cabot, the men would walk and fulfill their destiny as men. And we just break that judgment. God, I set men free right now from every way we've been judging ourselves. And God, we're not bad. We need to grow. We need to change. But we're not bad. Jesus, I just thank you that the Holy Spirit makes us. Your super with our natural makes us all supernatural. So I just thank you, God. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Celebrate Father's Day. Men, enjoy it. Go do something fatherly. I might go cut out a tree out back here just for fun. And you guys go have a great day. God bless you guys.